I cannot believe that we are at Proverbs 30 today. This has been a 97.3-year journey, and I am so happy that you guys have been with me all of this time. Next week is going to be next week. I didn't like the way that I said next. I really didn't say next. Next week is going to be really exciting. Of course, it's going to be a little bit bittersweet for this series, Proverbs 31, the final proverb in this series, but I have something cooking up for you, and I'm really excited about it. But today's Proverbs 30, so we are going to go ahead and jump into it so that we are not, you know, we don't have to sit here and talk about what's already like happening. Lord, we don't have to like, oh my gosh, learn how to say words, little girl. We don't have to like be super bummed about like the end of something because we are not yet there. You know what I mean? So like, let's celebrate what we have. It'll be great. Right now I'm doing something called, what's the word? Not podcast. Well, I'm podcasting. Yes. I'm procrastinating. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm looking up something on Google and I'm trying to like keep talking until I'm ready to with my Google search. So, cause I forgot to do it before, pronunciations can sometimes just be challenging, especially when you're talking about like Bible stuff, because you know it's all these translations and like, yeah. So I just want to make sure that I pronounce these things properly. So the words, I'm just going to say they're like the letter names, and then we're going to listen to the pronunciations together and make sure that we do this right. So the words of A, the son of J, his utterance, this man declared to I and you. So that's actually confusing, but the names start with I and you. So the first one, A, is, I mean, it's Agar or?
How to pronounce Agar.
Okay, buddy, well, you need the how to pronounce part. Agar, is that it?
Agar.
Agar. Okay, the words of Agar, and then.
How to pronounce.
Oh, there you go again.
Jacob.
Agar and Jacob. Agar and J. Ka. Okay. Is Ithiel?
Pronounce Ithiel.
Ithiel. Ithiel. Oh, you fancy. Ithiel. I feel like a lot of people wouldn't put this part in their podcast, but it doesn't feel right to me to go into this podcast pretending like I already perfected this. Like, I wanted you guys to learn with me because, in case. I mean, if you're listening and you're like, whoa, I already knew that, like, I'm so proud of you. But if you're listening and you didn't, then we can learn together.
How to pronounce Yukol.
Yukol. I like how he says that. Yukol. 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 Okay. The words of Agar. This, I was trying to say it how he said it, and then I felt like I was being rude. The words of Agar, the son of Jacob, his utterance, this man declared to Ithiel and Yukol. We're just going to start at verse 2. Surely I am more stupid than any man and do not have the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have knowledge of the Holy One. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name? If you know, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Is in parentheses. Verse 8. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me. Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Do not malign a servant to his master, lest he curse you and you be found guilty. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. The leech has two daughters, give and give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Four never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and the fire never says enough. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat at it. Ooh, will eat it. Verse 18, there are three things which are too wonderful for me. Yes, four, which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a virgin. This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wickedness. For three things the earth is perturbed. Yes, for four it cannot bear up. For a servant when he reigns, a fool when he is filled with food, a hateful woman when she is married, and a maidservant who succeeds her mistress. There are four things which are little on earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The rock badgers are a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the crags. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. The spider skillfully grasps with its hands, and it is in king's palaces. There are three things which are majestic in pace. Yes, four which are stately in walk, a lion, which is mighty among beasts and does not turn away from any, a greyhound, a male goat also, and a king whose troops are with him. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, put your hand on your mouth. For as the churning of milk produces butter, and wringing the nose produces blood, so the forcing of wrath produces strife. Strife.
Strife.
The word is strife. When we look at Proverbs 30, it's great, as all of the Proverbs, all the chapters are in the book of Proverbs, but it definitely has some different writing styles. And of course, it lets us know in the beginning who the words are from, but it has a different rhythm and pace, a few lists in it. It's not precisely written like all of the other ones. And so I did actually a little bit more research on this one. Most of them are like first responses, and then I share things that I've learned and things that I've learned in church and from my pastors and mentors. But this one, I did some like online research. I feel like that started off like it was about to be sketchy, like when you're like online research and it says that I have a toe fungus in my elbow. You know what I mean? Like when you Google your symptoms. I just wanted to share a little bit of what I've read online. And so basically kind of what I've gathered, and I'm going to give you the resources. Then you can also find these resources in the links in the description, the links wherever that, I don't know, y'all. The info thing for this episode. this, even though there are many differences with the style of this chapter and the other chapters, the message remains the same. It is talking about how the word of God is pure, and it is talking about how his, like, having his word as like knowledge. I mean, like, there's no knowledge apart from him. Like, that is the basis of our knowledge. And this can really help us as we are moving forward, which I think is kind of cool that it's like toward the end of the book, because it's talking about like how, what we're going to do when we move forward. And it's giving us very practical tips and these short lists about, you know, like verses 24 to 28, talking about the little on earth, the little things on earth that are exceedingly wise. It's like, hey, let me give you this little short list of things that are wise. And then let me give you this other short list of things that are majestic in pace. And let me give you another short list of things that are wonderful. Like it's so awesome, like really helpful and practical. And I'm really grateful for that. So one of the things that I looked up, it's I'm a pastor's kid, and I grew up listening to a few other pastors here and there, at like different churches I go to. But like if my parents are going to like listen to like a CD or a tape of a pastor, there are a few that my dad loved in particular. Rick Warren out here at Saddleback Church in California, and then Tony Evans in Texas. I actually can't think of the name of his church. I think it's something about an olive or an owl. Or I don't remember. I'm sorry. I don't think he knows the name of my church, so I think it's okay. But sorry, I didn't want that to sound petty, but he's really awesome. Anyways, so Rick Warren, that's actually the church that we go to out here in California. So I call him Pastor Rick. So Pastor Rick, he has a blog that he did back in, it's just literally last month, that says, "Want to grow spiritually, accept the Bible's authority." And he kicks it off by referencing Proverbs 30, verse 5, that says, "Every word of God is flawless." And it's talking about the only way to grow is by investing in the Word of God. And I mean, like, I always want to grow spiritually. Like, if you're not growing, you're dying. So I don't want to die spiritually. But I'm not just growing because I don't want to die. I'm also growing because I want to grow. And that's really important. So he really just, it's just incredible. He also breaks down unreliable sources of authority, like culture, tradition, reason, and personal feelings, which, oh my gosh, I'm just realizing now, like that literally applies to something I wrote over the weekend about dating and relationships and how our character should be the main thing that we're focusing on and not tradition and personal feelings and all this kind of stuff. Wow, that's crazy. So this is just really an awesome blog post, and I think it'll be really encouraging to you guys if you want to check it out. I'm going to just read this last little segment from this. It just says, Proverbs 30 verse 5 says it quite simply, "Every word of God is flawless. Settle this in your heart today. I'm going to accept the Bible as the final authority for every issue in my life." When you accept that authority, you'll start to get more out of the Bible. I think this just a really cool way to help us even in our Bible studying. And again, I think it's really cool because we're at the end of a Bible study right now. And I just think that's really cool. So yeah. The next one that I wanted to share with you guys is a blog post from Tony Evans. And it's called Investing for the Future. I don't know when this one was published precisely, but I think that's wisdom to talk about, like, you know, the future, but also because it's talking about, like, the first sentence is, "What kind of business does Christ want us to conduct with the resources he has entrusted us with?" And I like that because talking about, like, finances is sometimes stuff that people don't want to talk about, but it's really smart to be a wise steward of your money and investments and spending and stuff like that. You guys have heard me say a couple of times, I'm a little bit annoying about it, I think, because maybe I'm on the other end where I I've ran out of conditioner and I started using my husband's, which is fine because we oftentimes will use the same hair products because curls, but like he went to buy me some because he knows the kind that I've really wanted for a long time. I just haven't gotten to try it. And I was like, "Don't buy that. It's too expensive." And he looked at me. He was like, "First of all, you need conditioner." Sorry, that's so random. But sometimes I'm just on the other side of it where I'm like, I don't even want to buy conditioner. I'll just shave off my hair. It's, you know, whatever. Anyways, so Tony Evans, he's saying, in fact, as a steward of God's resources, I shouldn't have said the "in fact" part. Okay. "As a steward of God's resources, you are to be content without being passive. God calls us to live a life of contentment. What that means, though, is that you are to be at ease where you are while simultaneously working diligently and trusting God to enable you to maximize your potential." And then he references Proverbs 30, verse 8, as well as a scripture in Philippians. And I'll leave the link to this blog post so that you guys can dig into it. But Proverbs 30, verse 8, which is, again, the scripture that he referenced, is, "Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me." And then I'm going to read this in the voice translation as well. Proverbs 30 verse 8, "Eliminate any hint of worthless and deceitful words from my lips. Do not make me poor or rich, but give me each day what I need." And I love that. Again, it's crazy because I just finished working on the four types of lists that you oftentimes find in, like, dating and relationships. And this seriously coincides with that so well when Pastor Tony Evans says, to be at ease where you are while simultaneously working diligently and trusting God to enable you to maximize your potential. So I just think that's really cool that all of that works together. And, you know, my husband and I, so we watch, you know, Pastor Rick's sermons together. We used to be, like, in the building, but, you know, the whole pandemic thing. And my husband will oftentimes watch Mike Todd's sermons as well. And so he usually watches them like while the baby's playing in the living room and I'm up in the loft working. So I hear it as well. And he and I have these moments where we're like, whoa, like he just said the same thing that Pastor Rick was saying. And then, you know, like I said, my parents are pastors. And so like we'll be talking to them and they'll be like encouraging us. And we're like, whoa, y'all just said the same thing that like Mike Todd and Pastor Rick. And that's sometimes people like my parents don't, but sometimes pastors can be like, no, I said that first, da, da, da. But no, like that's cool when that happens, because that means that the word of God is speaking. That means that you are learning how to listen to the Holy Spirit and like what he is saying. That means that you are learning to discern. That means that you are understanding that God's word is the greatest source of knowledge. And when people are on one accord with God's word, they speak truth. And when you listen to more than one person that speaks truth, it's going to sound similar at times. And that's so cool. Ah, that's so cool. Like, that just makes me so happy. So, yeah, there's that. Guys, I'm trying to, sorry. I know this is so, I think I just found, what is this thing I just found in my Bible? Is this like a report card from when I was a child? Okay. I'm very confused right now. What in the world? Okay, guys. okay. Yeah, anyways, I'm going to put the links to both of those incredible blogs in the description link bio part thingy down below. Make sure you click find that wherever it is. And I hope you guys will click on them and like this. What am I talking about? Okay, thank you guys for listening. Follow me at Jamie Grace H on the socials. I've loved doing this study with you all. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey. Thank you so much for your patience during this journey. Thank you. This has been great. And I've enjoyed every minute. I hope that you all have too. I'll see you on Instagram. Okay, bye.